Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better, better.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Wednesday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. TJ's got the shades on. He is smiling. It's the last day of school. I'm smiling. Loaded show today. I hiccup and burp simultaneously. That wasn't planned.
Very nice.
All right. Mario Goodrich, come on down. 15 minutes away.
Hopefully. You know how these high school kids are.
You act like you're worried. I just blame you if it doesn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking yesterday. They got so many things to do nowadays, these high school kids.
Right. So Mario Goodrich, Super Mario, in 15 minutes. I have faith, TJ.
Okay.
So the newest commit for Nebraska 2018 will join us on Hail Varsity Radio 1 hour from now. A game changer for Nebraska at IBAC, and wishing him well after a tough season a year ago for Detroit. Amir Abdullah going to be with us. Amir is part of the Team Jack Foundation golf outing coming up at Quarry Oaks on June 24th. So we'll get caught up with Amir Abdullah in 1 hour. Mike Shuhart, Shuey, going to be with us from Wilderness Ridge Golf, the Wilderness Ridge Golf segment 30 minutes away. And you are welcome to tap the line, as always, and chime in here on Hail Varsity Radio. Tap the line with Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. On Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at TJ underscore Henning. TJ, you're giving me a naughty look.
No, we also have a family four-pack for the Salt Dogs game this weekend.
Thank
Saturday's
you.
Saturday's game, and then we'll give away Sunday tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, point to your phone like that again.
They're tickets.
I thought it was your phone.
Come on, man.
My eyes are playing tricks on me.
Apparently.
Okay, never again. Never.
This is juicy.
Utter that for a minute. Never again. What have you said that before? Being the designated driver for your wife and her friends.
Tiger Woods would never win another major.
Never again.
I've been right on that so far.
I'm not doing that again. We'll talk to Shuey about the Tiger Woods angle. Now, put it in reference to your favorite team, Nebraska football. Never again will the 90s ever happen. Will you be that dominant in college football in today's era? Never again. It's been uttered. Matt Jones does Kentucky radio. Matt Jones is a guy that's pretty well thought out. He's not a hot take, flamethrower, goofball. And he is talking about a topic that you've maybe wondered about.
Although he is on the Paul Feinbaum show, and
sure,
that guy's been known for some takes.
Well, but Feinbaum is first and foremost a writer and a columnist. So there's brains, okay? And there'll be some insinuation and wanting to incite, and his interests are tied with the SEC. That's who pays him. That's who protects him. So he'll stir the pot, but I don't think he fakes stirring the pot, is my point. It's something he believes in. And you know, I thought about programs right now. We kind of talked about this yesterday a little bit with, you know, where your program was at the time you were recruiting kids that are now on that radar. Is your football program in the same spot, a worse spot, a better spot? And that was a topic of discussion yesterday. And in Nebraska, when these kids were born, they were being recruited for 2017, 2018, 2019. I mean, Nebraska was wheelhouse city. They were contending or playing for a national championship, and they weren't far removed from winning 3 and 4 years and playing four of them in 5 years. I mean, that's the run. Same thing with Alabama. They have won four. Maybe, hold on. They've won five. They've won five and could have been six this year. So Feinbaum's substitute, Matt Jones, is thinking about three programs in particular. Tennessee, Notre Dame, Nebraska. Can they be great consistently is his question. And he lays it out, and we'll chat about this, and we'll also get back to it. Mario Goodrich is coming up in 15 minutes. But think about that. Can Nebraska be sustainably great again?
Yesterday you had mentioned the three programs that you thought that used to be really, really good that maybe you thought would never get back to that.
Notre Dame,
I was kind of eager to see who the other.
All right, well, here's my three. This is my belief. And Bobby, hang on, because I want your comment. Here's my belief. All right, and I'll make it simplistic. It is my view that when college football, only a few games were on TV every week, you could be a powerhouse program if you were one of those teams. And if you weren't, it was almost impossible to build yourself up to be one of them. So the same teams that were good in the 60s were good in the 70s, were good in the 80s. Then all of a sudden in the 90s, sometime mid-90s to late 90s, everybody's on television. And all of a sudden, it became a lot easier to get good. And what started to become a lot more important is how many schools have talent bases around them. Kids started to realize, you know what? I can go to school close to home and still be on television. Like, I don't have to go travel across the country. I can go in my state and still be on TV. And I think three programs took major hits when that happened. Number one's Notre Dame. Notre Dame used to be the only program you could go to and say, I'm going to be on television every single week. You're still on television now, but you're on NBC, and a lot of people forget there's even games on there. I don't think Notre Dame will ever be Notre Dame again. Can they be good? Yes. Can they make a national championship game? They did just a few years ago, but they can't be consistently great. Number two, Nebraska.
Nebraska, Tennessee. What he's saying isn't wrong as to the why Nebraska has been back with a second tier pack versus a top tier. The world's changed, and it isn't Oklahoma, Nebraska, or Oklahoma, Texas, or Nebraska, Colorado. I mean, Nebraska, you were on TV two times a year, okay? And then a third was the bowl game, okay? And Nebraska got the non-conference game against UCLA or Washington. And eventually those TV windows expanded and you had a few programs on, and then there was Notre Dame, who had their own freaking network, okay? And then you had the bowl game, Orange Bowl or Fiesta Bowl. The world was watching. And Nebraska earned that right to be one of the select few to be on every major Saturday. If it was a non-conference game, if it was against Oklahoma, maybe it was a showdown against Thurman Thomas in Oklahoma State. Maybe it was against Colorado, and Jim Nance was there for CBS in the late 80s. Nebraska had earned that right. They were picked. You know why? Because they had three decades of amazing football. And what he's saying, the nationalization of college football, you have teams that have risen up, and TV isn't that special anymore. Now, Nebraska's in a special TV situation by joining the Big Ten because, I mean, the Big Ten is paying out millions. So that's still in Nebraska's favor, but they're one of everybody that's on TV. You can't not watch your team, and you can't not watch your team and have that that infomercial effect. You don't have many choices, so you're going to be beat over the head with Nebraska in a primetime game, win, lose, or draw, and a lot of times they were successful. Part two of Matt Jones as to why Nebraska will never be great again. Never?
Nebraska used to recruit the entire Midwest. Why? They were the only team in the Midwest that was on television. It was Nebraska and Oklahoma. Now's it. So if you were anywhere good from anywhere around the Midwest, you went where? You went to Nebraska. But now you can go to Iowa. Guess what? You can be pretty good in Iowa. You can go to Kansas State and be good. There's no reason for a kid to truck across the country to go to Nebraska now. And so now Nebraska's not as good. And then third, Tennessee. Tennessee used to own Virginia, North Carolina, and Tennessee. They'd recruit those places, and next thing you knew, all the best players, your Heath Shulers, everybody came to Tennessee. Now, well, I can go to Virginia Tech. I can be Michael Vick at Virginia Tech. I can go to UNC. I can go to NC State. You can go to a ton of places. So Tennessee now has to play with a normal recruiting base. And guess what? The talent in Tennessee is not all that great. So those three programs, in my opinion, they can have good years. Could they win a national championship? Maybe. Could they be a year where they are a contender nationally? Sure. But will they be consistently great like they were for decades? No. And I think the three that suffered the most from what I called sort of the nationalization of the sport, where everybody was on TV, Notre Dame, Nebraska, Tennessee. What do you think?
Okay, here's what I think. I think Ohio State and Alabama have been consistently great. Every other program in college football has your peaks and your valleys. Texas, USC, examples. Ohio State has been the one program that's really not had a chain broken except for a 1-6-7 year. Other than that, they've been consistently great because they've got the best coach. USC went down after post-Pete Carroll. Miami hasn't been the U for a while, but guess what? Miami got back to being great when they found Butch, okay? And Butch handed off to Coker. So, listen, you can be great again. Can you be great for a span of 7 to 10 years? That is the push. Alabama will go back to their pre-Saban mold and post-Stallings mode once Saban hangs them up. Okay, because they are truly great coaches. And back to his TV argument, we're talking about Matt Jones as to why he thinks Nebraska, Tennessee, and Notre Dame will never be consistently great again. Do you agree with that? He's right that TV was a game changer for Nebraska because they were one of few teams on TV more than most. That was the reason Nebraska could recruit and did an awesome job at it nationally, because they were on TV and the world saw them. Now, it's diluted. They'll still be on, and they'll still be on a prime slot, but there's other competition, there's other eyeballs being pitched to by other games. So when it came down to Nebraska being able to be a national program and doing it, they won and played in big games. They did it on a national stage, and the coast-to-coast saw it. Nebraska was known, and they also were known to recruit nationally, West Coast, East Coast, down south, and it was just well-oiled. And it was always Nebraska, Oklahoma, maybe you had Notre Dame and SC. But you had about 8 to 10 national big-time programs, and Nebraska was a monster. Now Nebraska is trying to get back to being a monster, and that's why recruits like the 500-mile radius Mario Goodrich is so important to pair with your West Coast recruit and also IMG kid in Ibuki as part of the secondary, or Chase Williams. I mean, Nebraska can get back there. It's going to take recruiting, and it's going to take big-game wins. I don't know that you're ever going to – listen, the last great run and dynasty might be Nick Saban in Alabama, because who's knocking on that door next? Who is going to recruit and keep a staff together at the level that Saban's done? And it's all been mirrored after Osborne and Nebraska. That's how Saban has done it, the Nebraska way.
So I don't disagree with Matt Jones.
And I don't think he's trying to be a D-bag about this. I think some of his points are pretty good.
No.
And I look at Notre Dame. I mean, they just aren't what they are. And that's been more through bad coaching hires, because you just got paying Fat Charlie to leave. Got done finally. And with Tennessee, they also the three programs he's hit on have had an average of 3 to 4 coaching changes the last 20 years. That's more of it to me than just the TV factor.
Oh, well, there's a lot of factors, but I think the TV factor is a big one. And I've said that many times as one of the reasons why I think Nebraska is where they are now. Can Nebraska be what modern day Ohio State and Alabama are? I don't think so.
Ever? I mean, think about
that. So what they were in the 90s?
Never again.
Well, but that's so hard what Alabama and Ohio State are doing. That is so hard.
Let's not lump Ohio State into what Bama's done. I mean, Bama's won consecutive championships. Bama's won and responded with championships. Bama's won with this commitment to excellence of NFL talent stacked upon NFL talent stacked upon NFL talent. And they've done it, and they have just reloaded. Ohio State has to a degree, but Ohio State has still had their missteps.
Oh, for sure. But can Nebraska do what they did in the 90s? Three national championships in what, Nebraska, 4 or 5 years?
Nebraska
I don't know, man.
Nebraska was Bama before Bama.
Husker fans think that's so easy because it happened, but as time goes on, I think people realize that is hard, and they probably aren't getting back there.
It was special. And what Nebraska did 20 years ago is what Bama's done when it comes to an acquisition of talent, and you're stacking NFL dudes on top of NFL dudes. We'll get more into this. Thoughts on Nebraska, Tennessee, Notre Dame. Can they be dominant again? Mario Goodrich next.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Less than an hour away, Amir Abdullah going to be with us. Maybe an hour away, Mario Goodrich will be with us. Maybe now Goodrich will join us. TJ Henning is efforting the 4-star talent from Lee's Summit, Missouri. Thoughts on his commitment, I'll share with that. We're spending some time here, though, based on the Paul Feinbaum fill-in host, Matt Jones, and his gauntlet being thrown down that, listen, these three power programs will never be great again. Tennessee, Notre Dame, Nebraska. And we played some of his audio last segment for you. And throwing this out, the reason that they will never be as dominant as they once were is because of TV. And Nebraska was on TV more than most because they had earned that right, and they were a premier program to watch. Now, everybody's on TV. I remember back during my college days and even after college, Virginia Tech kind of owned Thursday night football. I'd always watch Michael Vick on Thursday night. And now you have Big Ten Network, Pac-12 Network, no Big 12 Network. But you have the Longhorn Network, the SEC Network. You will find a team on Saturday. You just got to look.
That's what the thing is. Everybody is on TV, the CBS Sports Network. Plus, you can find everybody on Huddle. I'm telling you, these kids these days, they don't have to go to a major program to be discovered. You go to a major program to perhaps win. Maybe you want to be famous like some of these kids, but you can go anywhere and be discovered today. You don't have to go to a blue blood program to be found.
No, and it comes down to relationships and connection, and that's where Nebraska has some ins when it comes to getting some game-changing talent, Dante Williams being one of those guys when you look at the number of high-profile kids he's brought in to make Nebraska challenge and get back to that certain level, that level of elite talent, that level of elite playmakers. Can I tell you why Nebraska was elite and was Bama before Bama? They had depth. They had development. They had numbers. They had walk-ons. They had a four-station practice where there was live hitting 2 to 3 times a week. And you had enough walk-ons to have your starters practice, and they would take turns beating the crap out of each other. It got you ready. You had Prop 48 kids, kids that maybe were a risk academically, that they would get a chance to prove that, listen, man, we're going to come to college and get the degree. So Nebraska could take a flyer on some kids that maybe were academic risks, but were insane football players. And guess what? They graduated too. Nebraska's system was unique. It was option football. Not everybody ran the option. And nobody ran it as well as Nebraska. And nobody was as efficient with play action football off of option football. So it was a unique style that you sure as heck had a hard time prepping for, and you sure as heck couldn't simulate when you're getting ready for Nebraska. On top of the fact, based on their development and blueprint, they were going to out-muscle you. From a strength and conditioning standpoint, they were light years ahead of you. And then you have to factor in tradition, excellence, winning, sending dudes to the NFL. There you have it. So we have a Mario Goodrich update. Time was messed up. He is open to doing the interview. We'll just need to reschedule.
Okay, yeah. Well, I got a message from him, too.
It says?
He's having dinner with his grandma right now.
Yeah, that's what the message I got, too. Good. Tell him thanks. Ask what's for dinner. More from Matt Jones and the thoughts here on as to why Notre Dame, Tennessee, Nebraska will never be great again. Does that slap you in the face as a Nebraska fan, or do you think Nebraska can be great again? And great's, let's define great. Great to me is what Bama's doing.
Yep.
Great to me is what Nebraska did from 93 through 97, actually through 99. Yep. And I think once Saban is done, you'll never have...
You think dynasties in college football are over?
Absolutely.
Wow. So, like, I think everything is cyclical, things move, but, to say that never's going to have one again?
Well, but who's going to do it?
Well, I don't think we thought Bama would, but they did.
Well, but let me, again, look at... I just kind of listed off Nebraska's advantages as to why they were great, what built them up to being a team to go 60-3. I mean, Saban's advantages...
Dabo at Clemson?
No, because you're not... I mean, Saban's not done it... Nebraska's... One of the main reasons Nebraska was awesome, obviously speed and defense, but they had a game changer at quarterback, okay? USC had game changers at quarterback with the liner years. Yeah. Okay,
Sam Darnold, I think, could be a game changer.
That's fine. But I don't think you're going to have another Deshaun at Clemson. And the thing that's different about Bama is they've found good quarterbacks, but it's been the talent around the quarterback
for sure
that has been the game changer. The offensive line and whoever they've got at eye back, okay? That's what's different.
Les Miles feel like he could have been Alabama if he got the right quarterback.
Sure.
I mean, talent around those, that's...
But Bama didn't base it all around quarterback until now. They've shifted that a bit. They've shifted it to, we got to get a game changer at quarterback. So that's where Alabama's super unique and different. They've had good quarterbacks, but they've not had the Tommy Frazier's or Deshaun Watson's, in my opinion. So I think once Saban is done, it can't help but fall off in your recruiting of the offensive line, of the I-back, the next guy. He's not going to keep that staff together. Saban's got the best of the best at position groups. And while he has lost some assistants, and I'm thinking Kirby and his offense, he's lost offensive coordinators, he's kept the train on rolling. But that's been him making the hire. There's only one of him. There's only one of T.O., and I don't know who the next dude is to come in, and I'm not going to throw a dart at the board and say so-and-so is going to have a dynasty by the time he's 50 at X, Y, or Z program. So I think this will end the dynasty run. You'll have a...
I just feel like there's always been dynasties throughout college football. So
you'll have a team that is going to be good, but you're going to have more of this cyclical rise and fall. And the fall could be... maybe you're 9-3 versus 11-2. Okay? That's, to me, where it's at. Last part of this here from Matt Jones.
You hit the nail on the head with me. I was thinking the exact same thing. I was really interested to see if you're going to say Nebraska, because that's what I was thinking. Because years ago, you know, being a diehard Bama fan, people thought the same thing about Alabama. They thought, you know, after the Gene Stallings era, that Alabama would never be good again.
And, but here's what was the difference with Alabama. Right, there's a ton of talent down there. Okay, so you can build up a program down there. There's not a ton of talent in Nebraska. If Nebraska had the talent that the state of Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana have, Florida being close, then maybe they still could. But you're in Nebraska. Have you ever been to Nebraska? It's just like corn and sadness. Like, there's nothing there. And so I think that's why they can't. And then the problem for Tennessee, there's talent in the area, but there's a lot more teams trying to get it that are a lot more attractive than you are, and that's why they can't do it.
Corn and sadness.
Talent in the area, hence the 500-mile radius, which is your backyard. Nebraska able to keep some of that talent near and dear to their heart in Goodrich. And if Nebraska can keep this Calabrasca pipeline going, they can go wherever they want to and need to go to develop talent, get depth. Now they got to win ball games. But interesting from Feinbaum's show, and Nebraska being one of these programs that will never be great again. They can be good, but is there sustained greatness? And I think Nebraska can be very good for a long period of time and be in the college football playoff. But look at Oklahoma and Ohio State. We're talking the last 15 to 17 years. Would you say they've been great? No, but they've been pretty elite. I mean, there's been years where they've challenged or played for the championship. I mean, Stoops has played for four or five of them. They've won one. Ohio State has played for four of them since 2002, and they're 2-2. And then there's Saban. He finally lost his first one. I just don't know who's there with recruiting, with evaluation, and then with development like Saban. I think the closest thing you got to it's Urban.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I don't think Ohio State, though, with Harbaugh there and with the rest of the West trying to kick it up, I think Big Ten's going to be a murderous sort to even try and get through.
Yeah. Look, right now, I just need the university, those social media guys, to make something happen with that corn and sadness quote.
Okay.
Like, you could go all day with that. Like, just pick a piece of corn and have somebody sad on
it. I would change it, though. I would change it from corn and sadness to corn and join the madness.
Ooh, all right.
Something like
that. There you
go.
I like that.
This is a Kentucky guy poking fun at Nebraska. And we could make all the racehorse and tobacco jokes we wanted.
Yes, we could.
And the one and done, and the
NASCAR.
Bag, and the bag man, and the money, and we can do all of it. We'll ask Mike Shuhart, Shuey, about corn and sadness in a little bit. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment coming up. Amir Abdullah is 20 minutes away. And I want to remind you, 7 out of 10, too many. That's the portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants that were killed on Nebraska roads last year. If they'd been using their seatbelt at a minimum, 69 to be alive today. Save more lives. In order to do so, 60 law enforcement agencies across the state, they're on the lookout for seatbelt violations this month, part of national Click It or Ticket campaign. They'll be writing tickets for seatbelt and child restraint violations. So be warned, be aware, and click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment coming up. Amir Abdullah shortly. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back to it. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. It is the Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. I'm so excited to have Mike Shuhart sitting next to me. Shuey, how are you, partner?
I'm good, man. The sun's finally out.
All right. You're driving up here. You were listening. Never?
Never?
Man. Never again? Never.
That's a long time, isn't it?
It's a long, long time.
Never is a long, long, long time.
Never be great again like you were. Again, Paul Feinbaum's fill-in host saying the Tennessee, Nebraska, Notre Dame never going to be what they were. And he said TV. And I get that. Everyone's on TV, but, you know, you've done it once before. I guess all I'm looking for and aiming for is get me 10-2-ish or 9-3 with some good wins and some close losses. And then it'll take care of itself with that breakthrough year where you go win a title. I mean, as a Nebraska fan, you can't ask for, I need to see 60-3 type success.
That's right. Man, the whole landscape has changed so much. It's like,
and Saban's the last of that breed.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, it's...
Because if you're a college football coach and you're hired to be fired at $5 million a year, and someone doesn't like what you're doing, you're going to be like, peace out, I've got my $15 million, I'm buying a yacht, and I'm good.
What happens when he retires? Man, how about the guy next in line?
It's Dabo. But why would he leave Clemson for Bama?
It's a no-win.
To follow Saban.
A no-win situation?
No. No,
you're
beloved at Clemson now.
Yeah.
And they've been patient enough with you over 6 years.
Money does strange things, though.
Yeah, but Clemson can, I would think. But I don't know if they can pay Bama money. Okay, let's talk golf. WildernessRidgeGolf.com is where you log on. And it is going to be nice and beautiful for this holiday weekend. Membership benefits, membership pricing you need to find out about. And go see your friend Chris Thompson, PGA Professional, Director of Golf, and, of course, Director of Instruction, Mike Shuhart. You need some help with your game? Shuey can take care of that for you. And I don't know if there's any availability or not, but the For the Force golf tournament and fundraiser, Cameras for Cops, is tomorrow at Wilderness Ridge. 12:30 start, 5:30 bar and bidding, 6:30 dinner and awards. And proceeds go to help men and women in blue, Lincoln's finest, the police department, with body cameras to keep them safe and protected. So if you may inquire here, if you're hearing this the next few minutes, give Wilderness Ridge a shout, 402-434-5106, and ask about any availability when it comes to teams or getting in or even a sponsorship to help the Lincoln Police Department, the men and women in blue with the For the Force golf tournament. 12:30 start tomorrow. Fundraiser, auction, and amazing golf tournament at Wilderness Ridge.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day.
It'll be beautiful. Like great 75 event. And yeah. Sunshine. And
it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a fantastic event.
TJ, I think I'm developing a cough. He's like, I don't care. Shuey, what's new, man? Tell me what you've been up to the last week. Tell me about some lessons. Tell me about what's going on at Wilderness. And, of course, we'll get into Tiger here in a minute here. But what have you been up to? Who have you been working with? Not necessarily the who, but what have you been working on with folks who come see you?
So, obviously, this week is state high school.
Yep.
So, a few kids that I work with that are qualified for state, which just got over today. So, and actually, I went to school at Lincoln East, and Lincoln East actually won today.
Claire won, didn't he?
Yeah, and then Claire ended up winning, which is fantastic.
Good family.
He'll be at the university next year, too, so good to see that happen. So just trying to tune some of those guys up, get them ready for the state. So, and then just regular lessons, waiting for the nice weather, which finally came. So
good, man. That's awesome.
Good stuff.
And the work you do, and at this point, you'll see some kids, and maybe they are seeing you for the first time, or maybe they're seeing you for the first time in a while. But touch on your ability to kind of connect with them and reinforce some good habits or some difference-making habits, especially this time of year. I mean, a lot of the kids have worked their whole life for this moment in state golf.
And most of the work, actually, I know I work with a young man that he came in for a lesson, and I'm not sure we hit two balls during that time we spent. We talked a lot about more of emotional.
Okay.
And management. I call it management, kind of how you think yourself around the golf course, some things that you need to do to put yourself in a position to let you do what you already know how to do, which is how do I swing the golf club, the shots I produce. So it's like, it's kind of like not letting the moment get bigger than what it really is.
Okay.
Again,
management.
Exactly.
I love
more
that.
More of it's your,
it's a great title.
Your mind management. It's like, how do I stick with what I already know? And a lot of times they come in and they're a little apprehensive because they're maybe not have played as well leading up to the tournament. Mm-hmm. Here's a big tournament they're getting ready to play in. So they're a little apprehensive about what it is. And just trying to get their mind a little more at ease of how they go about what they're going to do. And if they do that, the results will speak for themselves, you know. So sometimes we have a tendency to look a little ahead and again, make the moment that we're playing in bigger than what it really is. Mm. Yeah, it's the state tournament. It's very important. But really, when you boils it down to what you're doing is you're just hitting a tee shot and you're hitting your second shot onto the first hole. So you're just playing that. You're playing golf like you play golf all the time. You know, but because it's a state, it becomes a little more important. So we start to add more pressure that needs to be there. And we get in our way, man, and we start to falter as opposed to succeed. So just getting to think right, you know. And when they are faced with some adversities, which they will. Mm-hmm. Anybody that plays golf, man, it's never perfect.
No. Weather might be. You might be looking awesome in your gear. You might have hit that first shot phenomenally, and now, it's sandbox time.
Yeah, that's right. So it's like, how do you face that adversity? What do?
You kick it out of the sand.
If you can. Maybe not.
Not you.
You can. We'll give you that one.
Shoey, speaking of never, earlier in the show, one of my nevers happened again. My big proclamation that I've made was when Tiger made his apology in front of the world was that he's never going to win another major again. Because I didn't think he was necessarily he was riding the karma train, but also because here's this best golfer of all time, probably, playing the best golf of his life, and he's mentally doing it while living a double life.
Exactly.
And now all of a sudden, he's got this huge secret, this embarrassment is out there, so everybody's looking at him differently. And I just think the pressure would be differently, and so far, I'm right.
Yeah. I found it interesting, that article that came out today, you know, about him, you know, wanting to come back and play and stuff like that. So it's like, that's going to be interesting to see.
I just, man, with all the surgeries he's had too, all that marine stuff he's tried to get into and just crush his body, like,
yeah,
I don't think he can do it anymore.
I know, obviously, the surgery helped him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
in relieving a lot of the pain that he was in and discomfort. So, it's like, wow, man, I feel, just like you said, man, I feel better than I have in years. So it's like, that all of a sudden starts to get him to believe that it's like, man, if I feel this good, I can play like I used to. It's like, well, you got to get out there and start swinging at it again to see what kind of shots you can produce and things like that, to see if he still thinks that way.
Well, he'll need just a super dose of the old Shoey management talk, too, because it's been so long since he's kind of rock and rolled at that level. Hang on, Shoey. We got a few more minutes. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment commences. We are 10 minutes away from Amir Abdullah, Lion and Husker. Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Coming up, Amir Abdullah, 10 minutes away. We'll catch up with Amir. He's bouncing back from injury. Part of the Team Jack Foundation Golf Tournament. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment going on right now with Mike Shuhart. Shuey is with us. Log on wildernessridgegolf.com. Also inquire if you're interested about the fundraiser and golf tournament tomorrow, the For the Force. Cameras for Cops tournament starts at 12:30. I don't know if there's availability or not, either sponsorship or a four-team spot, or I don't know, but find out if you want to play in it, because it'll be an awesome day tomorrow, and it's going to help our tremendous men and women in blue raise money for cameras on their uniform so they can stay safe. Bar and bidding is at 5:30, dinner and awards 6:30, shotgun start 12:30. Shoey, we've talked a lot about you know, management and dealing. And the question is, you know, Tiger, great, you want to play pro golf again. It's a long road to come back with all these procedures, the mental side, the physical side, your own standard. The field's gotten better because you forced them to get better. And the that journey, let's spend a minute or two, since you do such a great job teaching not only the Huskers, but also high school kids and the young folks that are coming up in the world of golf. You got to stay. I mean, the whole part about golf is just, A, focusing on the now, and B, staying positive, right?
Exactly. You know, you got to stay in the moment. You have to pay attention, first of all times.
This is active participation.
You have to pay attention at all times, which means you got to stay in the moment. You got to work really hard on taking care of what's in front of you right at that particular time. And golf can be a very difficult game. So it's like you start to let yourself get a little frustrated and stray from what it is that you need to do. It's like you will probably pay the price because of it. So, I mean, you have to stay very committed, very positive, and in the moment of trying to take care of your business that's in front of you. And you do that each and every time, you know. So when things aren't going good, it's very easy to get frustrated, start lose a little focus on what it is I'm trying to do, what it is I'm trying to accomplish. And that's when you actually need it the most, you know, because when I'm not where I need to be or where I want to be, you know, how can I get to where it is I need to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the great thing about it, is because at any moment you can turn around. One good shot, one good swing, one good shot starts to feed into another, and then you run off a good string of holes. So it's like you just never know when that's going to happen. So, well, if I don't ever know, I definitely want to be in position. So when that does happen, I wanted to give it the opportunity. And when it does happen, man, I want to be in position to take advantage of it when it does. So basically, you just can't ever check out.
No.
Ever.
Ever. And enjoy it, but also have a plan in place. Can log on wildernessridgegolf.com. Find out more about membership and membership options and pricing, and of course, make that reservation with Mr. Shuhart, Mr. Thompson, when it comes to teaching. 6 months free is awesome. 6 months free with HaleVarsity.com, even better. The ultimate online fan experience, inside info, recruiting, breaking news, and a great rundown on Mario Goodrich. Callers 3 and 4 right now, a 6-month subscription for you to HaleVarsity.com. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, caller 3, caller 4, right now, 466-3776.
Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Team Jack Foundation, the golf outing fundraiser coming up at Cory Oaks on June 24th. One of the best at Nebraska, now in Detroit, Amir Abdullah joins us. Amir, what's shaking? How are you, man?
I'm doing well, Chris. Thanks for having me on. Not a whole lot going on in my world right now.
Well, you got OTA starting up, and that's exciting. We'll spend a few minutes on that in a moment, but what a first and foremost focus on Team Jack and this fundraiser coming up in June. Funding research for pediatric brain cancer, Amir. And you know what? You've been so great with your time. You and a lot of your Nebraska teammates with Jack Hoffman, the Hoffman family. Tell me why it's so important to you, and you and many of your teammates continue to give back to it.
Terminal brain cancer is the number one child killer in America. And a lot of people who are affected by it, they don't have the proper funding to get the proper support, medical support that they need, you know, throughout the time. So anything we can do as an alumni chapter in Nebraska to help aid such an underfunded situation, such as pediatric brain cancer, we're going to do everything we can to do so. So I'm really proud of the Nebraska alumni chapters for continuing their efforts with the Hoffman family, which has now reached so many other families across the country who are struggling with this this disease.
Amir, what's that mean to you to be able to give back not only to the Hoffman family, but also to other families and kids who, you know, I mean, guys like you are their heroes. They love supporting and watching you. You give them a ton of joy. I mean, how do you process that aspect of this? And the platform you're raising awareness for is so important.
For me, that's always been of the utmost importance. Me being in the position I'm in, a lot of the eyes are on me a lot of time. And most of the time, it's because of what I do on the football field. It's not because of what I do off the field. And, you know, having mentors like Rex Burkhead, Will Compton, guys who are part of the alumni chapter who are on the board as well as the Team Jack Foundation partner, it's always been important to us just because we understand that as athletes, we're much more than just guys who can run the ball fast, guys who are explosive players. We're people who can potentially be leaders in our community. And it is what it is. In America, sports kind of dominate what, you know, the popularity in this country, what people are watching. So knowing that there's so many eyes on us at all times, anything we can do to also show that, hey, sports are important, but there's a lot of personal issues people are going on in people's lives that we're concerned with as well, will help, you know, broaden the spectrum for people who don't really understand pediatric brain cancer or any terminal cancer for that matter.
Team Jack Foundation, teamjackfoundation.org is where you can log on, sign up, get a foursome together for the inaugural Team Jack Foundation golf outing, the fundraiser. Cory Oaks is an amazing golf course. It may not be kind to you, but it'll be fun. And that is June 24th. Amir, how are you with the sticks? I got to ask.
You know, I am probably one of the worst you have ever seen between the golf club. I'm not very good. A lot of my teammates golf a lot. Like Golden Tate, he's an outstanding golfer. If I understand it, I think Matthew Stafford's actually pretty good as well. So I need to get better. But right now, I would say bottom five on the team in golfing. Probably bottom five.
So if there is a strength, is it tee it off? Is it approach shot? Is it putting? What is it?
It's definitely my putting. Putting, I've always been good at putt-putt. And I've been on the green a little bit, and I've put it on the green a little bit. And I have a good eye for the trajectory of different greens, how I need to play it. So I do well with that, but it's really just my driving that's really bad, really inconsistent. I have days where I'm driving, and it's just a struggle just to hit the ball, you know? So for me, it's a process for me, but hopefully at the event, June 24th, like you said, hopefully I can have one of my better days.
So you're telling me there's going to be a lot of donations by Amir Abdullah for the mulligan part of things.
There will be a lot of mulligans, so my pockets will be empty at the end of the day.
That is awesome. Hashtag Go Gray in May. You can check that out on social media. Cancer Awareness, Team Jack Foundation, golf outing, June 24th. Amir Abdullah going to be there. Of course, Spencer Long, Jeremiah Searles, Will Compton, and it is funding research for pediatric brain cancer. Amir, I want to talk a little bit about your career, and we get to catch up maybe a couple of times a year, and it's always great to chat with you. And right now you have an opportunity to get kind of going again with Detroit. The OTAs are going on, and I want to just touch base with you how you're feeling, how things are going. You're back now after being out with injury. How's your outlook right now?
Like you said, I'm back. I'm full grown. I'm practicing. So first and foremost, I want to thank God for that. You know, I've never been in a situation where I've missed so much time or any time ever. I've never missed a game before until this season. And finally being in that situation put a lot of things in perspective for me as far as what's important, you know, when it comes to life and when it comes to football. And what I can say about the game of football is it has this unique ability to give you a lot in life, but can also take a lot away from you in life. And I learned that being hurt, sitting out, I learned a lot about what it means to be a better player mentally. You know, I've always kind of had an advantage with athletic ability playing this game over some guys, but I had to force myself to become a better, more cognitive as a player. Because now coming back, obviously I'm back, but you know, I still got to knock off a lot of rust. I'm still not 100% as far as like trusting, you know, trusting myself. That'll come with time. So of course, you know, when you don't play football for the year, you kind of got to knock off some rust. So what helps me out right now is just understanding my job and my assignment on every play. Being more of a student of the game is what my focus, my direction this spring has been. So I've seen a lot of growth mentally for me. I understand the offense more. I can tell you now exactly what every receiver has on every route, what their depths are, what their routes change to, you know, coverage. And those are things that I didn't really understand. And I was not really asked to, but I want to know now because it will help me be out as a running back if I knew guys run a hook route and I have a shoot pattern. I know how fast I need to get out there to uncover that hook route, pin it on, you know, hit split on that certain play. Details like that aren't really covered in everyday football talk. I've definitely got a lot better at. I think it's going to make me a lot better player. And obviously, you never want to get injured, but that's one positive I can say from coming back from injury is that I'm a lot better mentally. Not only knowing the playbook, but also toughness. Because I've been through hard times. You know, that's something. That's another thing. I've really been through before this injury. I hadn't really been through much adversity as far as injury. I'd never had surgery before until the year 2016. I never had surgery before. So coming back from surgery, where I had to pretty much get my strength back and pretty much learn all my, you know, my cutting again, my running again, that's hard to do. You know, a lot of people understand that. A lot of fans, a lot of guys may not ever play football. They don't understand. That's a tough challenge, man, because it's one thing to heal, you know, to surgically get something repaired and then let the surgery heal itself. But the next level is actually going back out there and reteaching yourself how to walk, reteaching yourself how to run, reteaching yourself how to cut at certain angles, you know. And that's tougher than what a lot of people think, and a lot of people don't understand that. So going through all that, you have to be mentally tough because you have good days, you have bad days. And, you know, once you start stacking good day on top of good day, you start to understand that at this point, it's nothing that this game could throw at me that I won't be prepared for because I've been through the fire.
Amir Abdullah, a few minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Amir Guapo on Twitter. Amir, you just laid out the maturity side of what makes guys last in the league. When you were out for the 8 months, who did you lean on? Who helped you get through it? Because, again, you said it's something you'd never been through. You've been through adversity, but this is like the first time in your career you've had something of this magnitude where the game was taken away.
Yeah. First and foremost, I would probably say my family, really. Another thing was, you know, when you're on IR, a lot of times you're away from the team. Like, for me, I was still in Detroit, but I wasn't really in the meetings like that because most of my time went to rehab and, you know, doing everything I needed to do to heal my, you know, my injury. So I was away from the team, so I wasn't really for a while, you kind of go into a depressed state because you don't feel like you're really a part of the team anymore. So that was tough. So I didn't have my teammates to necessarily lean on. Of course, they'd send, like, encouraging texts here and there, but my family was really big for me. You know, I come from a big family, 6 sisters, 2 brothers, and it wasn't a day that pretty much went by that someone wasn't calling me. You know, my dad, I talked to him almost every other day. My mom was calling me almost every other day. My brother was also my agent as well, Muhammad. He was calling me all the time, just picking my spirits up, letting me know I was going to get through this. And one guy in particular who I would say helped me out the most through this process is my old roommate, Josh Mitchell.
Really?
He's a guy, yeah, he's a guy who he's been through, he had a couple of injuries. He had an injury when he was in camp with the Colts where he, I think he tore his quad muscle or something like that. So he had been through a surgery before, and he knew I had never missed time before, and I'm a very I'm very critical on myself sometimes. So, you know, missing so much time, I felt like I was letting my team down in some instances, even though I can't control the injury side of it. You know, well, what happens is all under God's control. But Josh was there for me anytime I needed him. You know, some days I felt better than others, and just to have that guy to call on when I wasn't feeling so good, who could just reassure me that everything was going to be okay. You're going to get through it, man. You're going to come back and you're going to kill the league, you know. And that's something that he would always tell me. You're going to come back, you're going to kill the league. And I began to believe it, you know, and that's something that I've been really speaking into existence, and it's all from him, you know, because I never thought I would get to the point where I didn't believe in myself after an injury. But, you know, you have days like that. And for Josh to step up and understand that that's what I was going to go through, because he had been through it before, I really appreciate it, because now I'm light years ahead of where I ever thought I would be. You know, it's only May, and I'm already back practicing and well ahead of schedule for what, you know, what kind of injury I had. You know, I tore my Lisfranc in my foot. You know, you see some guys, that could be career-ending for some guys, yep. You know. And for me, man, I'm back running in under 10 months. You know, it'll be 8 months out of my surgery. Next week, for me to be out there running, cutting full speed, not even thinking about my injury anymore, and I still got 3 months before the season starts, man, I'm blessed. You know, I'm blessed. So it's a good feeling, and I know it's one thing to physically rehab, but you have to mentally rehab through that process too. And to have Josh there to help me mentally rehab myself into a positive state of talking myself and back into health was really important. So, you know, I definitely tip my hat to Josh Mitchell, and I appreciate it, but you know.
Important to have friends like that, Amir Abdullah back and ready to take over. And it's great to hear you in a very positive state like this, Amir, when it comes to your health, your outlook, the mental approach, and then the physical recovery. And you can join Amir and a lot of the Huskers Team Jack Foundation inaugural golf tournament fundraiser June 24th at Cory Oaks. And Amir's tee shot will be perfected by then, it sounds like. Amir,
I'm working endlessly.
Yeah. Well played on that. Lastly, Amir, I wanna ask you about this. I'm a big Jimi Hendrix guy. I know you're huge into Jimi Hendrix.
Man.
And yeah. I had a poster in high school in my room of when Jimmy set the guitar on fire, and my mom and dad had walked into my room and kind of had a t-shirt too, and they just kind of gave me one of those little side looks like, what's going on here? It's like, Hendrix rocks. He's awesome. And what got you into Jimmy? I've always wanted to ask.
I feel like he's one of the greatest philosophers without even trying to be a philosopher.
Okay.
His outlook on life, outlook on adversity, outlook on people who you trusted, who, you know, did you wrong, and the outlook on if you made a mistake by someone was perfect, man. He always had something, some rhyme or reason to help you understand that, you know, for one, life goes on, you know what I'm saying? And that's something I try to stress to a lot of guys on our team, because it is a stressful business, but if you're continually just harping on the mistakes, or you're harping on how you may feel like you were mistreated in a situation, it's not going to help your future outlook. You know, something I always tell people now in a lot of camps that I run is you can't focus on the will be. And this was actually in a book that, you know, I read about Jimi Hendrix's life, about him not focusing on the future, always focusing on the now and the present. And I feel like you can't always focus on the will be, because when you're always focusing on the will be, you can't focus on the now. You can't focus on what's going on now. And the now is actually what shapes the will be. So why focus on the will be when the now is what is the what the will be would be? You know what I'm saying? I know it's a lot of words and a lot of will be, but if that's something that's really important for me is, and that's in every phase of life, focus on one day at a time. On the field, focus on one play at a time, one rep at a time, one step at a time, and eventually the end result will be what you want it to, you know, how you want it to turn out. And that all is a product of you, you know, trusting the process of the present. And that's a philosophy that, you know, Jimmy lived by. And I just thought he was a remarkable philosopher.
That's good stuff. He could play guitar, too. I love it.
Yeah. He's probably the most underrated guitarist ever.
He's the best. He's the best, man. And
yeah.
Amir, we will see you June 24th. And thanks to you for what you're doing with Team Jack and the Team Jack Foundation. And keep up the great work, and best to you as OTAs continue with Detroit.
All right. Appreciate that, Chris. Take care. We'll be right back.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks to Amir Abdullah. I could talk with Amir for hours. That would inconvenience him greatly. He is just a lot of fun to just be real with, and good for him being so open about just the difficulty of the injury. Coming back from it, being focused. He's in a great spot physically and mentally, and you want that for him because he's such a good dude, great performer. And he is ready to have a great year with Detroit. Thanks to Amir Abdullah. Thanks to him and all the former Huskers that are helping with Team Jack, teamjack.org. Thanks to Mike Shewhart for coming in and hanging out. In hour one, we were talking about Paul Feinbaum's fill-in host.
Matty Jones.
He's a Kentucky radio guy. But I think of Matt Jones, I think of like the old tight end that played quarterback at Arkansas. I don't know if it's one and the same, but I doubt it.
That's who I thought of first,
right?
Too. Yep.
I mean, the guy that got a hell of a payday for being the first, you know, 6'6 tight end, but had the wide receiver body.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, anywho, Matty Jones is talking about programs that'll never be great again. And he threw it out there. He said Notre Dame, Nebraska, Tennessee, done. Over, finished, kaput, never, ever great again, because how college football became a nationalized sport post-95, post-99, with all of these TV deals and the fact that if some is good, more is better, that philosophy with putting college football on TV.
Yeah, and his definition of great is like competing for a championship
Every
5 years, like consecutively.
That's his?
Wouldn't that be what, I mean.
I think that is.
Because he said you could do it occasionally, and maybe they'll even win it, but just like they did in the 90s or current Alabama.
Right. So you're playing for the national championship every year. But I think that there's only been two instances of that. I mean, let's go through some of these instances, okay, in modern history. So you had the early 70s Nebraska squads. You had some phenomenal Sooners teams. They won back-to-back in the mid-70s. But really, Miami was there. The Hurricanes from like 86, 87, 86 through, well, 84 through 92, okay? I mean, you had a tremendous Miami run. USC was there. They split a championship and won one outright with Carroll. From 02 to about 07 or 08. And then you went to Seattle. And then you've had what you have now with Bama that started the in 09. And Saban got there in, I think, 08 was his first year there. It was his first year because they beat Colorado in the bowl game, and Colorado got beat by Alex Henry's bomb from beyond. Okay, so there's my little Rolodex.
Well, I would say Urban Meyer's Florida teams.
Yeah, but they won two.
Mm-hmm. But they were competing every year for Chip while he was there.
No, they had. I mean, their air quote off years were like everybody else's off years, where you're 15th in the country and you're 9-4, and then he dropped down to 8-5, and then he had heart issues, and then he went to TV. So let's ask this question. Who gets back to that Cinderella season where you're in the college football playoff quicker, faster? Who's the first to get back to the college football playoff? Is it Notre Dame? Is it Nebraska? Is it Tennessee? And here's what I think is happening. You have transition at Notre Dame, where they're on another coordinator, a third defensive coordinator, in 3 years. You're coming off a 4-8 season where the natives aren't happy. You lost your quarterback and your schedule is always going to suck. I mean, that's why you go to Notre Dame. If you go to Notre Dame, it's because of your schedule. Even your dating relationship with the ACC, it still gives you years where you have Miami, like this year, years in the past where you've had Florida State, years where you've had Clemson on the schedule. There is a hot seat perception with Coach Kelly in Notre Dame right now. There's a hot seat perception with Tennessee and Butch right now. They went 9-4, and they finally beat Florida. Georgia's been down, but ain't going to be down for long because they've got insane talent in that state that Kirby's keeping home. And then Coach Riley, I know fans want to see a major jump, but I think Coach Riley is not only the safest, but it's the most stable setup of these three. Butch could be gone in 5 months, and Brian Kelly could be gone in 5 months. I don't think Mike Riley's gone in 5 months, no matter what, and I don't think he should be. So these three programs have been hurt by TV deals, and the local kid doesn't have to go there to be seen anymore. I think the fact that Tennessee is a program that a lot of folks are kind of dipping into their in-state area, and Tennessee wasn't what they once were with the Peyton Mannings and Phil Fulmers and winning championships. It's been 20 years. T. Martin, they used to just go kill it. North Carolina wasn't very good, right? Now Carolina's been okay. The other area teams, Georgia Tech, Georgia, I think around that Tennessee 500-mile radius. Man, there's so many other programs there that have kind of risen up while you have stayed or dipped below production level. Kids aren't thinking of going to Tennessee. You get a lot of talent there, though. They've recruited exceptionally well, but it's not translated onto the field because the kids they have brought in, while really talented, the majority of them have not been deprogrammed. They come in with expectations like it's going to be easy and it's going to be handed. No, you got to work for it. Now, Barnett's an example of who came in and worked for it, their defensive end that was phenomenal. Dobbs is an example of a kid who came in, worked hard for it. But Tennessee's had a ton of their talent transfer, or there's been some disgruntlement on the roster. Notre Dame has recruited well. They have done well offensively, and they've already challenged for a national championship 2012 season, 2013 new year, but that's been a while back. And I don't know how many folks or recruits remember the 10-3 year 2 years ago where they were really, really good. They were 4-8 last year. And then there's Nebraska. When it comes to which of these three teams that, according to a Feinbaum show, will never be great again, which of these three teams is the quickest to get back to a college football playoff? That's what we're talking about, Nebraska, Tennessee, and Notre Dame. And I can make an argument for Nebraska. Absolutely. Because Tennessee has been unfulfilled hope. Notre Dame has struggled to reload. And then Nebraska right now is kind of in its wheelhouse of talent acquisition. They've done a great job bringing in talent. They've got to develop it. But this thing could be the start of something really cool for Nebraska. And the talent Nebraska's getting has two jobs. One, get and defeat Iowa and Wisconsin. One, get physical. The other part of this thing, hybrid, is to be athletic. Be physical, be athletic. Because you got to be physical and athletic to eventually beat Ohio State and Michigan. Period. And to get your crack at Michigan and Ohio State, you got to beat Wisconsin and Iowa, where you can be more athletic, but they may ground you into the dirt. And you do both of those things, then you beat Tennessee and Notre Dame, to a chance at a college football playoff or a New Year's Day 6. It all works together. Teej, you're eerily quiet on this whole thing.
Well, just with Tennessee, man, I don't believe in Butch Jones at all. He showed to me his true character when he called one of his teammates a coward and a betrayer of their team when that person pointed out players who were sexually assaulting a girl. And he called that player a betrayer and a coward. Like, so you're not, that's your integrity of you? That, no, that's all I need to know.
He's a snake oil salesman, and he's a BSer. Bottom line, that's what Butch is. And Tennessee's been on their fourth coach since Uncle Phil. Notre Dame's been on their fourth coach. Nebraska, there's your common theme. There's your biggest problem. Maybe more so than everyone being on TV is the turnover. And they always say you make a coaching change, it sets your program back 5 years until you get the right one, like the merry-go-round that went on at Oklahoma, like the merry-go-round that went on at Alabama. When they hit, it worked. But you got to give it time to hit.
Mm-hmm. And I was also quiet just because I had to go. I had to find this again.
Corn and sadness. Like, there's nothing there.
You're bothered by that. I mean, we're doing our pre-show meeting, and you hear Matt Jones say, you know, this is what Nebraska is.
Corn and sadness. Like, there's nothing there.
I don't know if I'm bothered by it. I just
no, you're,
I think
you
it's really
like,
unique you and interesting.
Like, you looked like Debo took your bike. In Friday. You've seen Friday.
No, I was going to ask you what movie reference that was. I've not seen Friday.
Debo's the neighborhood bully that's 6'6 and monstrous, and he took someone's bike.
All right.
Might have been Smokey's. That wasn't Smokey's bike. I forget, but you looked sad when you heard corn and sadness.
Yeah. How about we give these away? Sell duck tickets for Saturday. Family four pack. Caller four?
Sure. If we want to do four, we can do caller one.
Let's do caller four.
Caller four, a family four pack. Does that hook up anyone with barbecue this Saturday or not?
That I do not know.
Okay.
I think those might be different tickets.
Okay, that's fine. Caller four, salt dogs. It is a holiday weekend. Why not get to the old ballpark and see the dogs at Haymarket? Caller 4 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll-free, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 4 now, a family four-pack for the Salt Dogs this Saturday with ESPN and Hail Varsity. Caller 4 right now. Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday. Lincoln Orthopedic Center, Dr. Doug Davis with us. Dr. Doug, getting ready for the Stanley Cup. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I kind of like this time of year in hockey, and I even like pro basketball this time of year. You know, it's kind of fun watching the playoffs.
It is, and you have a team in Nashville that's still partying. They're entertaining to watch, and you have one of their standouts that is going to be there for moral support. We're going to talk a little bit today on our Jock Doc Wednesday about Ryan Johansson and what happened with him, one of the top performers for the Preds. Compartment syndrome, acute compartment syndrome. Dr. Doug, tell us about it, and it sounds kind of involved.
Yeah, so what happens with this is there's, for some reason, an individual will get bleeding inside of a muscular compartment in their leg. It can also happen in the forearm, but the most common scenario is to have it happen in the lower leg when a fracture of the tibia, for instance, occurs. If the big bone breaks, there's a lot of blood that comes out into the muscular compartment. And what it means to have a compartment syndrome is that there's so much pressure inside of the muscular sleeve that the muscle itself gets choked off of its blood supply and begins to die. And so it's a devastating problem if it's missed. in the case of Ryan Johansson, he was in a situation where he got kind of rammed into the boards is when they think that it happened, and he got a direct blow right to the thigh area, and it was such a significant enough blow that his muscle began to hemorrhage internally, and the pressure built up so dramatically that he had to have emergency surgery.
With that pressure and emergency surgery that went there, Dr. Doug, your reaction from a surgeon standpoint, a surgery, and I guess the timeline here, the direness of the situation. I mean, it sounds very very stressful on both ends, not only for the player but also for medical staff because of what could happen.
Yeah, it's actually one of those times that it's a true emergency because as that pressure builds up, if the muscle does not have adequate blood flow to it, within a couple of hours, it begins to die. And the nerves that transverse through the muscles going down the leg would also die. And so it's really very critical that the diagnosis is made and then the relief of that diagnosis, which is basically to open up the muscle and allow the pressure to come out, take out the blood and take the pressure off the muscle. That's the way that you save that muscle from dying. And in this case, because it was up into the thigh, it also saves his nerve from dying as it goes down into his lower leg.
When you diagnose this, how are some of the ways you can tell that it's this serious compared to another injury that you're likely to sustain in hockey? How do you differentiate?
Well, this particular injury where the bleeding occurs up in the thigh, to this degree is an extremely rare thing. If you're looking, you know, looking around trying to find reports of it, you're not going to find very many of them. I've seen a grand total of one in a high school football player in the last 20 some years here in Lincoln. I've seen it occur with fractures of the femur, again releasing a lot of blood into the thigh, but it's extremely unusual. So how you make the diagnosis is based primarily in a situation where there isn't a fracture, or in a situation where there is a fracture, it's based primarily on the pain being way out of proportion to what you expect it to be. Motion of the knee creating severe pain, disabling pain. This is the kind of deal where you get a rough, tough hockey player who's crying because the pain is so severe. That's when you know you're dealing with this kind of a problem. You can do compartment pressure measurements, which is where we have a device that'll actually, through a needle cannula that we put into the muscle, can tell us what the measurement is. But generally, it's an obvious finding, and it's something that you have to make the diagnosis with a low threshold for going to surgery, because if you don't, you're going to miss some of these and they're going to end up losing function of their legs.
Talking about the Preds, Ryan Johansson, a Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, Dr. Doug Tavis, acute compartment syndrome, our topic. Now let's hit recovery here for Johansson, Dr. Doug. Decision is made. It is a very important surgery. They're all important, but this one is very, very important because of what could happen if you don't catch it. Let's hit on recovery. What is next for Johansson?
So the after the surgery, you have to allow the swelling inside of the muscle to go down before you can even close up the wound. Typically we put a device called a wound vac on, which is which keeps the wound open but sterile and removing the edematous fluid. So it takes several days typically after this surgery before you can do a definitive closure of the wound. Then once that's the case, once you have closure of the wound, you can begin the rehabilitation by regaining the range of motion of that leg. There's a number of things that can slow you down. Sometimes the body can respond by even forming bone within the muscle as a response to this injury. It's a very strange thing that can happen, but sometimes you literally can form bone inside of the muscle. The rehab is basically to regain the range of motion, try and prevent those kinds of complications that we just talked about. And then in the long run, the outcome can be very, very good. And I would expect Johansson to be able to come back next fall and be giving it to the rest of the NHL again.
That is going to be important for him, no doubt. Is there going to be any nervousness, do you think, after something of this magnitude? I mean, hockey players are wired differently. You're right about the rough and toughness of them. You think he'll be able to get back to his old form?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, I think everybody realizes that a situation like this is just incredibly rare. And the likelihood of having the same kind of an injury occur, unless he was in a situation where it was determined that he had some kind of a bleeding disorder that wasn't known about before, I suppose that would be a possible reason to keep him away from the game. But I think he'll be able to come back. I would imagine that if he's been playing hockey this long, they would have figured out if he was a bleeder before this.
Dr. Doug, we'll catch up again. Thanks for a few minutes.
All right. Take care, Chris.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
One final time, big thanks to Amir Abdullah joining us to start this hour. Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf. The Mario Goodrich Chase will continue into tomorrow. Big thanks to TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt. Hope you're well. And had a fun discussion today based on the old Paul Feinbaum show, his fill-in host, in the edict that never shall Nebraska be great again. Fun discussion. And if you missed any part of the show or missed that, we spent an hour on it, log on, alevarsity.com. Or go to iTunes, also free, or the ESPN 1480 app, always to get the show on your terms, on your schedule. Sauter Heyman, Rick's schedule's pretty open for you. Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, Sauter Heyman, 100% real diamonds. They're grown in the lab instead of mined from the earth. That'll save you 10 to 40%. In comparison to earth mined diamonds, they're eco-friendly. They are beautiful. And they are something you need to think about for her, because a birthday or anniversary is coming up. Mother's Day is in the rear view. Hopefully you did okay with that. But you can go find out why they are some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history, an extensive history, 100 plus years at Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of those pure grown diamonds. Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln around West, in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. Speaking of diamonds, Nebraska jumped out 4-0, now down 5-4, and batting. It's going to be one of those, we're not going to make it easy on you, Coach of the Year, games.
The baseball's going to have to score.
Yeah, and I think there's 8 people in the stands, and they're all wearing red. And it's the red poncho. I think you can still get some of those 80s ponchos. You got to look for them, but they'll say Nebraska on the front.
Okay. I was going to ask you what makes it an 80s one compared to now. But
that's when they were made.
Okay. That's when ponchos were invented, the 80s, huh?
Well, I'm just saying the 80s. I mean, I haven't seen anyone selling ponchos that say Nebraska
Okay.
across the front since the 80s.
Saw this discussion on Twitter the other day. Would you use an umbrella if it's raining?
You know, we have one in the back of the old Truckster for baseball. But for the most part, I'll just put a hood up, cover up in a blanket.
Yeah, I'm kind of anti-umbrella myself. Like on campus, when I walked around, I never had one. You just kind of take it, you know?
You look like a schmuck if you're that guy and everyone else is just kind of enduring it. If you're the umbrella guy.
Yeah.
If you're with a bunch, this is Seinfeld here. If you're with a bunch of umbrella people, though, it's okay. If you're the one without the umbrella, someone, hopefully she's nice looking, will offer to share an umbrella with you. Mm-hmm. I have no problems with umbrella usage. It's just a matter of who's holding it. If I got to hold it, then I'm like, I'll just get wet.
Yeah, right? You don't want to hold it.
You just don't want to hold it.
But if you were, like, watching your son's baseball game, like, then I would understand, like, having an umbrella. But they'd probably cancel the game if it's raining.
Yeah, based on his batting average, I'd go to the bar. He'd know that. I would just say, tell me how you did. Lie to me. Oh, I missed the one time you went 1-for-4. Wonderful. I love you, monkey. Okay, tomorrow. A Jay Moore sighting, perhaps. Maybe a recruit sighting, perhaps. 4:00 with Hail Varsity. Thanks.